Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is vocalist, composer, and actor Nellie Mackay. A multi-talented musician, she plays piano, marimba, and ukulele, and brings a comedic flair to her stage shows, including Nellie with a Z, in which she played a veteran cabaret singer three times her age. Her breakout role on Broadway came in 2006 when she played Polly Peachum in the Three Penny Opera, and she has appeared on numerous late-night talk shows, as well as CBS Sunday Morning. As a songwriter and vocalist, she has put out five studio albums. She performed the title song of the hit film P.S. I Love You, and her music has been heard on TV shows like Weeds, Grey's Anatomy, and Boardwalk Empire. Nellie Mackay, welcome to Song Travels.
I thank you.
You are truly a song traveler, you know. You play and sing all different kinds of music. And one critic said, she can write and sing in any style, and you can't always be certain that one of her original songs is not an obscure period piece.
Emphasis on obscure, for a reason.
You're going to sing and play a number of things, which makes me very happy, because I love your musical sensibility, your stylistic approach, especially to vintage songs. One of the things I like about it is that you play the songs more in a period style than a contemporary interpretation, that most people, they slow them down and they make them sound a little lugubrious. And I always find that when you play a older piece, you give it a sense of the spark or the excitement that it had when it was created.
I rush.
well, I'm an old rusher myself, so maybe that's what I like about it. But it works. And as an example of that, would you kindly sing a song called "Did I Remember"?
Oh, I don't remember.
I knew that was coming. Well, I do. It's by Walter Donaldson and Harold Adamson, and our guest Nellie Mackay is going to play and sing it for us right now. Our guest, Nellie Mackay, performing "Did I Remember?" How have you learned all these old songs? How have they come to you And at what age did you start having an awareness of songs and music, and I imagine film musicals, because a lot of your references seem to be film noir and that era?
Well, when I was a kid, I think it's just what your it was largely what my mother introduced me to, and she kept me quite sheltered, I think, from a lot of the pop culture of the time growing up.
Did you feel sheltered?
No, I had no idea.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was going on, and so for Christmas we would get presents, videotapes. And they would be from my cat. So one was from Palm, and I'd open up what was from Palm, and there was Nothing Sacred, you know. Or I'd open up what was from Wilbur, and there was Bringing Up Baby, and we would just watch these all day.
How fun! How fun! I was allowed by my parents to stay up late to watch the old movies on TV because they were always shown late in the time when I was growing up, and it was the greatest thing. And I could not understand why they didn't show those movies that were broadcast at 10 o'clock at night in prime time, because I thought they were much more interesting.
Right, of course.
There's a song that you sing that Johnny Green and Edward Heyman wrote called I Cover the Waterfront. And I've never seen the movie I Cover the Waterfront, have you?
No.
It was written as the song was written as sort of a theme for the movie.
Oh.
And it's a song that Johnny Green wrote shortly after he wrote Body and Soul. It hasn't sustained as much as Body and Soul, but I'd love to hear you sing it now.
Oh, yes.
Here it is. I Cover the Waterfront.
Away from the city that hurts and mocks, I'm standing alone by the desolate docks in the chill and the still of the night. I see the horizon, the great unknown. My heart bears a weight, it's as heavy as stone. Will the dawn coming on make it right? I cover the waterfront, I'm watching the sea. Will the one I love be coming back to me? I cover the waterfront in search of my love, and I'm covered by a starry sky above. Patiently waiting, hoping and yearning, oh how I yearn. Where are you? Are you forgetting? Do you remember? Will you return? I cover the waterfront in search of my love, and I'm covered by a starry sky above. I cover the waterfront, I'm watching the
see, will the one I love be coming back to me? Yes, the one I love must soon come back to me.
I Cover the Waterfront, performed by Nellie Mackay. I had a friend, an older friend who's now gone. She used to do a nightclub act, and she would always sing, I Wover the Waterfront, do the whole song that way. So I always think of Jane Dulow every time I hear that. When you performed in Three Penny Opera, what was it like to be in a disciplined thing where you have to show up every day for rehearsal and work for weeks and weeks and months and preparing a role? Was that fun? Was it fulfilling ultimately? Or do you like being more free form? Because I think of you as being very freewheeling in what you do. That's not to say that there isn't tremendously hard preparation in your creating. Yet I always feel like there is a sense of spontaneity. Did you miss that in doing the Three Penny Opera, or did you find ways to incorporate that in the show?
Oh, no, yeah, it's just the schedule is great, you know. I'd like to do 8 hours a day like the Beatles in Hamburg, you know. But, of course, it's nice to improv. And of course, the politics, it hurts when you're part of a larger production because the inclination is to cut the politics. And unfortunately, if you're a cog in the machine, you no longer, you know, Michael, it's nice to run your own ship.
I very much agree with that. One of the things that you do sometimes is pull out a fantastic piano solo that emulates a classic performer. And you have a Teddy Wilson solo on All My Life. How did you find the solo? Is this something that was notated somewhere that you found, or did you do it by ear, or did you have... Tell me.
Well, I began it by ear, but I can't keep up with him. So then I called my friend Paul Holderbaum, and he finished all that stuff I couldn't hear. But so it was kind of a collaboration between ourselves. Speaking of Paul, he always said that you know a great big band because they slow down.
Huh.
Isn't that deep? But
I'm not sure what it means.
He said, well, for instance, we did a song on the Doris record that went but I dig it, and he said, you know, that's a great band because they drag, man.
Did Teddy Wilson drag?
Teddy Wilson had those marvelous long tapered fingers, and he always did the tenth in the left hand, which of course I can't do. But he had such a light touch. So this is at best an approximation.
Well,
but in his time he was known as the Marxist Mozart.
I never heard that. Well, let's listen to our guest Nellie Mackay performing All My Life, which begins with a Teddy Wilson tribute.
Has been waiting for you. My life is sublime now that I'm giving all my love. You seem so lovely, so far above me, I'm almost afraid to look. But I adore you, I place before you a heart that's an open book. All my life, hold me close to your heart, but all else above, hold my love, darling, yes, all my love.
All my life. Teddy Wilson's solo to start it, and then Nellie's vocal for that song. That's a song I never paid much attention to, but now I have to pay more.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I remember growing up with that, and Ella, when she sounded like Betty Boop in those early recordings.
Oh, that's funny, because I found an unreleased recording of Ella literally doing a boop-boop-a-doo chorus on something for a joke. A song called Cheerful Little Earful. There's a cheerful little earful, and I miss it, something fearful. And she said, there's a cheerful boop-a-doo, little earful boop-a-doo. Played her the recording. She insisted it was not her singing.
Oh.
And then she realized it was. And so I gave her a copy of it, and then she played it for all of her friends.
No, but, you know, speaking of Ella, though, I think towards the end, you know, maybe she was getting hospitalized or something. Didn't one? She always saying, "We got to make the next gig." You know, where are we getting to South Dakota yet? You know, we got to make the gig, man. Do you worry that's gonna be what we're gonna be like?
Well, I think it's a kind of a nice way to go to still be working.
Yeah, I think so. Even in your own mind.
Yes, I had a friend, an actress, who lived in England, and she was eventually placed in a rest home for actors, a home for actors. And we were having lunch, and suddenly she got up and said, "I'm sorry, I have to go. I have a matinee." And she left. And I thought, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So I hope that we always have a matinee or some kind of performance that is waiting for us.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you can take the matinees, Michael. Yeah. But recordings that no one's heard. Have you got any recordings that no one's heard?
Oh, I have lots of recordings no one's heard. I'll sometimes hear a recording I've made, and I don't remember it.
Right.
And I think, where was I? Who is that person? It's so far from where I am now. There's something about a recording that captures a moment in time that is fascinating to revisit. Do you like to listen to your recordings?
Oh, no, and but that's convenient. It's an easy out. You just think, well, I'll just go grab a bite now. You guys, you know, decide. But I think, Michael, that's because you're so wonderfully busy. Or from the outside, it looks like wonderfully busy. But, you know, I remember once saying to someone, yes, I'm like Janis Joplin, burning the candle bright and shooting across the sky or something. Said, yeah, you're not burning that bright, kid.
All right. Let's get back to some music. This medley I'd like to ask you to do, would you introduce it, the components?
Oh, thank you. Well, this first one is a version of Sunny Side of the Street played by James Booker, who was he was known as the Black Liberace, and he always wore, I think he often wore an eye patch, and it sounds like just such a bouncing, rollicking tune, but boy, is it hard. Man, these fellas. And then that goes into Bemsha Swing, which is by Thelonious Monk, and of course he grew up in housing where Lincoln Center now is, and there was a large Caribbean community there, and Bemsha is very close to Bimsha, which means from Barbados, and you can definitely hear that feel in the song, and my mama says it's a song that sounds like a question mark. And then that will seg into Toto Dies.
Okay. Well, here is this medley performed by our guest on Song Travels, Nellie Mackay.
Thank you. beating the morning to the fog. Your grimace widens and your lips part, sounding the silent alarm. And when the bells explode, they scatter, hitching a hand onto the breeze. The grand bureaucracy grows fatter, whistling the old melody. Goes the Buckingham Jewel Guard, oh wee, oh goes the cop on the beat, oh wee, oh goes the kid in the schoolyard, oh wee, oh goes the kid on the street. Hey man, what's happening with you? I watched that episode too. Maybe I'll get some Chinese. I'll have the dumplings, no MSG, please. And when the night breaks through, they wonder if all they lost was self-respect. They pass the homes of greed and plunder, still lingering on the disconnect. And we're sitting down for the evening, oh we're through the civil earthquake, oh we're safe in bed and they're dreaming. Heaven knows if they'll ever wake. Still in Iraq, I guess that's the only way. Oh, did I tell you we got Fifi spayed? And when they get to work, they hear drums. The boom fills all the empty space. They file papers, la-da-dee-dum, trimming their shoebox with lace. But there's something a growing, oh wee, oh through the bustle and hiss, oh wee, oh the lots that need mowing, oh wee, oh there is something a missy, oh wee, oh.
Our guest Nellie Mackay performing a medley of Sunny Side of the Street, Bemptious Swing, and her own composition, Toto Dies, with da-da-da-da-da-da. It sounded like the Wicked Witch was in there. There's more coming up in a moment with vocalist, composer, and actress Nellie Mackay. I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Song Travels from NPR Music. Nellie, you recently performed a show at the Cafe Carlyle, and I was delighted that you called the show Nellie with a Z, because Liza Minnelli is a friend of mine, and I know that she got a kick out of that. So.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
She did?
Yes.
Oh.
Were you doing some sort of a pastiche that included a tribute to Elaine Stritch?
Yeah, I love Elaine Stritch.
Because when you, in the show, you... You enter the stage as an aged person.
Right.
So was Elaine an inspiration, a partial inspiration for that persona?
Oh, I think probably mostly my own broken dreams. Oh. You know, we got a cane and we said at one point, this is the actual cane used to beat Mahatma Gandhi from the first class railway carriage. But yeah, no, it's I'd like a cane. I mean, I already feel. Don't you feel about 1,000 years old approaching that stage? I saw Shirley Jones at the Carlyle a couple weeks later, and I thought, gee, if she can do it, I can do it. And I thought, nah.
Well, people have described some of your songs as, you know, having kind of black humor in them, but I don't think of it as black humor. I think of your songs as being ways to make people look at things that are important to examine.
Right.
So there's a part of you that is very committed to helping people to become more aware about certain things. And then there's another part of you that is absolutely madcap. I mean, where you just go off and I think you said something once, that there's too much rationality. We need to be less rational. So how do you reconcile those two things?
Oh, well, whenever I see David Byrne and he says something quite nice, I shake him and I say, stop making sense.
Okay. Well,
and if we're doing the Billy Tipton, then I give him a hug and a bump with my prosthetic.
Well, would you explain who Billy Tipton is for those who don't know?
Well, Billy Tipton was a pianist for much of the century, starting in the 30s and until his death in the 1980s, when it was found out that he was a she, and that pretty much his entire life, no one had known Billy's secret that he was born Dorothy, and he managed to have five wives. How about that?
Yeah, that's the thing that is, I guess, most interesting to people is how did she pull it off,
right?
Or put it on?
Yeah,
such as the case may be. And you have been doing a tribute to Billy.
Yes, and hopefully we'll continue with that. We want to do more.
Well, I imagine with a character like Billy Tipton that there is so much written with so many different points of view. Has your point of view about Billy evolved and changed in your perception of who that person was?
Well, I think mostly just in regards to his piano playing is that it was great, you know? And I thought quite naively, oh, it'll be easy to do Billy Tipton, but she worked.
Well, there is a sexism, of course, especially in jazz, or there used to be more of that, that women can't play the piano like men. And I guess in classical music and all kinds of music. And then someone would come along like Dorothy Donegan in jazz or Alicia de la Rocha in classical music that blows that to smithereens. But still, that stigma makes me think that perhaps Billy Tipton might have made a choice simply for the sake of the art. Is that possible?
Oh, yes, for sure. I think there was also a sense of adventure with it.
I'll say.
Because, yeah, I mean, what a commitment to act your entire life. And also, for all the discomfort, because we tried to lace me in the bindings, and, you know, the first meal I had to take them off. Mm. I mean, because just think, I mean, he could only unbind for a half hour to an hour a day. You know, I think there was also a thrill to be fooling people all the time. I mean, that was back in the days when you could change your identity. There was no internet following you around. And doesn't that make you nostalgic?
Yes. But that's not unusual for me.
Right.
I'd like to request that you do another song that you wrote called Beneath the Underdog.
Yes.
Is there anything that you care to say about that before you perform it?
Nah.
Okay. Here it is.
Come on, let's try and make it. You tell yourself this time for sure, but I would rather sit and crave it or not want it anymore. I had a kind of friend in you. It wasn't pleasant all the time, but though my heart is jaded, I think winning's overrated. Looking through frosted windows, I envy the soft, contented sighs, but I don't get people. I don't get the things they think are reasonable. So you'll find me here right beneath the underdog when life's impossible. Hold tight beneath the underdog, that's where I'm comfortable. And I know I'm a fool perhaps and rationalize what I can't have, but no, here right beneath the underdog, that's that's where I'd rather be. And maybe someday I will see a kind of personality who makes the world beckon. And when that happens, I may find I miss the nervous daily grind. It's hard to stand this peace of mind. It's truly finer on the outside. Oh, the outside. I've conquered mountains, so to speak, and looked down from a higher peak. But it seemed so creepy. Winning can leave you feeling sleazy. So setting off from this here camp, I'd rather be the little tramp, my own companion, or maybe with one whose tail's wagging. So you'll find us here right beneath the underdog when life's impossible. Hold tight beneath the underdog, that's where we're comfortable. And I know I'm a fool perhaps and rationalize what I can't have, but no, here right beneath the underdog, that's where we'd rather be. We'd rather be. We'd rather be.
Beneath the Underdog, performed by our guest, Nellie Mackay. Do you play the piano a lot? Do you practice piano a lot? I was thinking about you're working on these solos, you know, like the Teddy Wilson solo and such. Those have to take a lot of time to work out.
Oh, yeah, it's stupid, and I'm so slow.
Does that matter, though, the fact that, I mean, the result is all that matters, really, isn't it?
Well, yes, but even that's questionable.
Well, I think it's quite admirable.
Thank you, Michael. It's all to get my arch nemesis, Barbara Cook.
Well, I hope that she doesn't hear this program. I have a particular affection for a songwriter named Dave Frischberg, who I think is one of the most fascinating writers, because he started out as a jazz pianist, then he started writing these amazing songs, both music and lyrics. And there's a song that he wrote that you have sung, and I'd like to ask if you might sing it again. It's a thing called Listen Here.
Yes, thank you, Michael.
Okay, here it is.
When you're still, do you hear one small voice crystal clear, saying, listen here, my friend, listen here. Well, that voice is your own, and it speaks to you alone. You can count on me, it says, so listen here. This is you. This is real. This is truly the way you feel. You can run. You can hide. Ah, but sometime, someplace, we each of us wind up face to face with that little voice inside. So we hope and we yearn and we live and sometimes learn from that little voice that whispers crystal clear. And we each hear the call, 'cause it's calling to us all. Follow me, it says, never fear. Listen here, old friend. Listen here, dummy. Listen here.
A beautiful song by Dave Frischberg, performed by our guest, Nellie Mackay. Have you ever felt like the person in that song, Listen Here?
Oh, yes, it's a good conversation with oneself. We use it in our song, our show about Rachel Carson, which we did at Feinstein's.
Yes.
I did perform that song in front of Dave Frischberg when we played Portland, and he came up afterwards, and he's just so real. You can really feel him.
Oh, yeah.
He's right there with you, and he's the real deal, and he's right there. He's like a shimmer, and then he's gone, and so...
I feel the same way. I met him years ago. I was playing a gig in a band, a vintage band, and during the break I was playing an Irving Berlin song, Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep.
Right.
And I was just playing the very basic chords that were on the sheet music. And he came up to me and he said, "Man, that's incredible. You're just playing that so simply and so beautifully." He said, "I play all these solos and stuff on it, and you know, I just love the way you play it simply and beautifully." But I'm sure that compliment flew the minute he heard me play everything else the same way.
No, but man, talk about some chords. I mean, holy moly. I'd like to transcribe some of his solos, because what is he doing? And he does it, it's so casual. Like, you know, I just happen to compose, and now look what I can do. Now I'm going, yeah.
Well, Nat King Cole said that playing and singing at the same time, he always felt that both suffered a little bit. Do you like playing and singing together?
Oh, sure, I'm desperate.
How are you desperate? What do you mean?
Oh, in every way. But Billy Strayhorn said you can't really be a composer and a player. You have to... One always suffers. He said something similar. So I'll use any excuse. Just keep quoting.
Do you prefer to stand and sing, or do you prefer to play for yourself? Is there a preference? I'm just curious.
Because you
play the ukulele, and then you accompany yourself, and then, of course, you're accompanied by others.
Well, you know, I love playing the marimba, and we've been playing with the Turtle Island Quartet.
And do you sing when you play the marimba, too?
Yes, and that's why we've got a wireless now, because you can't do all five octaves sometimes and keep coming back to center to sing. But it's so much fun, and you feel like Edward Scissorhands. And when my dog likes to come in when I'm playing the marimba, and I play Edward Scissorhands with her, and she gets very, you know, she tries to bite all the mallets, and it's desperation born of loneliness, a way of amusing oneself.
Well, at least it's a living, right?
Yeah.
Your song Bluebird reminds me in a certain way as an homage to certain songs of the 20s and 30s. I think of Shirley Temple, for some reason, maybe because she was in a movie, an unsuccessful movie called Bluebird. But it's a certain genre of song that has this beautiful plaintive quality. What inspired you with that song?
Well, I have the sheet music of Bluebird, Bring Back My Happiness, that is from the 19-teens. Maybe it has something to do with World War I. But that song, when I finally did open it, it went, "Bluebird, bring back my happiness, to me." So then when we did this Bluebird, I wanted to go, "Bluebird, bring back my happiness." My mother said, "No, you're not singing it like that."
That was that.
Yeah.
Well, I like that period sound, but I understand your mom's reasoning there. Well, let's listen to it right now. Here's Nellie Mackay performing Bluebird.
Bluebird, bring back my happiness and see me through this clouded hour. Carry me to a field in flower. Thunder comes roaring up inside. I see a purple tide and shadows wave. this crowded hour. Bluebird, where once was hopefulness, this heart has swift congealed and soured. Culture carries me in its swell. I see the faces well, too well for dreaming. Bluebird, bring back my happiness, oh, bring his loving heart to me.
Bluebird, performed by our guest Nellie Mackay. I would love to do something with you at the piano. I'd love to accompany you in something.
Oh, shall we?
Yes. There's a Hoagy Carmichael song that's always intrigued me. It was written for a movie, and it wasn't used. It was put in a drawer, and then several years later it was just published as a Tin Pan Alley thing, and eventually became one of Hoagy's biggest songs, The Nearness of You.
Right.
Is that something that I could... persuade you to warble?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
All right.
It's not a pale moon.
That's warbling. That's warbling. What key? What is your preferred key?
Oh, A, as in...
Okay, well, then I'll play it in F. Uh-huh. All right, we'll do The Nearness of You in A.
It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me, oh no. It's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation, oh no. It's just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so to me, all my wildest dreams come true. I need no soft lights to enchant me if you only grant me the to hold you ever so tight and to feel in the night the nearness of you. Come true. to enchant me. If you'll only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight and to feel in the night the nearness of you.
The Nearness of You, written by Hoagy Carmichael and Ned Washington, who was the lyricist, performed by our guest, Nellie Mackay. Thanks for that, Nellie. I played one suspect chord, but you were flawless.
Oh, I'd like to live in your suspensions. That isn't just improvising what you do. That's everything. That's creation. It's that's a very organic thing. I didn't just play the same thing over and over again if left to my own devices. It's like musical Tourette's.
Well, I'd love to do something with you at the piano, just kind of play with something.
Oh, sure.
Well, what about Pennies from Heaven?
Oh, that's a wonderful one.
Well, let's see. Do you know the verse? Do you know the verse of the song?
Oh, no, you'd better do it, Michael.
Okay, I'll do the verse, and then let's do a forehand thing, and then just let's see where it takes us.
Beautiful.
Okay, here it is. Pennies from Heaven, Michael Feinstein and Nellie Mackay.
A long time ago, about a million years BC, the best things in life were absolutely free. But no one appreciated a sky that was always blue, and no one congratulated a moon that was always new. And so they planned that it would vanish now and then, and you must pay before you get them back again. That's what dreams were made for, and you shouldn't be afraid. Contains pennies from heaven. You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be you sure that your umbrella's turned upside down?
Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers.
If you want the things you love, you must have showers.
So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree.
There'll be pennies from heaven for you.
I don't think I've ever had a musical experience quite like that, Nellie.
Sensational.
I didn't know that either of us tapped. That was fun.
Oh, you bounded and I jumped.
Well, I'm so grateful that you have consented to be on Song Travels. I certainly wish you well in all of your creative ventures. You are inspiring to many people for the scope of what you do, the fearlessness, the humor, and the humanity. So thank you for all of that, Nellie.
This has been delightful, Michael. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure.
You've been listening to Song Travels with host Michael Feinstein and his guest, Nellie Mackay. Song Travels is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at Hirsch Studios in New York City, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Associate producer, Laura Hunsberger. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Mastering engineers, Andrew Shire and David Mitchell. Production manager, Kathy Bradbury. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Gruntman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is songtravels@scetv.org. Song Travels is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, and by NPR member stations and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.